angi tuk tingye zona tawa tamja pangbe che tambe chun ne tamzo godan de la chasa lo namo la yika dan lo dan lo jen gan lo gong da dan mi yika nam dan lo wa gun je janam che sam tamja gado da ge cho tanto angi tuk tingye zona tawa tamja pangbe che tambe chun ne tamzo godan de la chasa lo Good afternoon. I'm going to talk about the different things about the four noble truths. You start there. The Buddha reached enlightenment because his teaching was the four noble truths based upon. Disciple called the Hinayana or Theravada disciples. Yes, you know, he tried to explain mainly the Four Noble Truths. Then there also was many other disciples. So why he taught first the Four Noble Truths instead something else? Yeah, the reason now is started the Four Noble Truths and not just there are two ways. One, Buddha realized while he was doing the meditation in six years in meditation practice, he realized somehow beings are circling under the influence of affinity, emotion, actions. So in order to cut off those the bondage, then he taught the first two truths. Then second, he realized then about cutting this ego, the bondage of suffering of cycle existence, then there are way you can get up to enlightenment, to become Buddha. In order to how to achieve enlightenment, then he talks about the last two noble truth, because I'm using the noble truth, not truth. His word was, this is the true suffering.
The first teaching about the Four Noble Truths was, this is the truth suffering. Of suffering.
The second is the cause of original or cause of suffering.
Cause or origin.
Really, what he's talking about, if you don't realize you have some problem, then you don't think it to go to visit doctor.
Well, if you don't realize you are sick, then you won't go to see the doctor. Or so first you have to realize you are sick.
Something like that. Or you don't feel enough. You feel it's okay, okay. But here, you have to realize that this is the true. We said the true suffering. They are suffering three types of suffering. We call the suffering of pain. That one Buddha not talking here. And suffering of changing. This is not also. We know suffering of changing. Many of them, not all of us. Even some might know. Suffering pain, everyone knows it, even the mosquito knows, little bugs knows. So this is the true suffering, means it focusing the contaminated aggregate. Maybe you don't know, contaminated aggregate means impure body. What body we have, there's one we call the aggregate, part aggregate. This in the contaminated aggregate means impure aggregate. But we usually think this is the pure body, pure and sort of always with us, permanent. Okay? So therefore, without this, the third type of suffering called the suffering of pervasive conditioning.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
So the first noble truth is that there is real suffering in this life, and there are three types of suffering. The suffering of ordinary pain, which we all know well. The suffering of change, which is circumstances that change. Things change. You get older, marriages break up, whatever, right? That's suffering of change. He says that's not the main kind of suffering the Buddha taught. Everyone knows those. Even animals know those too. The third one is the most significant. It's called the suffering of pervasive conditioning. And he's going to talk a little bit about that. But the main subject of the suffering of pervasive conditioning is that our body and mind are actually seen as being impure. Not impure in a biological sense, but impure in that we attach to them in a way that makes them sources of suffering. Even though we think they're sources of pleasure, we don't employ them well, we don't respond to them well, so they continually to cause us suffering. So our body and mind, which can be divided into five categories, but simply just body and mind, are seen as the impure aggregates of our experience.
So now the body, in the true suffering Buddha, they spoke about four aspects of suffering, four aspects of different aspects. One is impermanent. Our body is impermanent, changeable, not permanent. Okay. Second, is suffering. Body is suffering means contaminated, impure. Looks like partake. Opens things, what comes?
It looks beautiful,
no nectar.
But there's pus inside and ugly things inside. It's not pure.
Bone, and marrow, then no, through thick or the, what comes through or through no, our nose comes, not nectar. through our eyes, not dropping fruit. So think that this will be not, he's not telling people you should get scared of death. He's not telling that. So you realize this body is just like a rented vehicle.
Like a rented vehicle. Okay? And it breaks down.
No, it breaks down, we know. But we don't pay attention. Just not so that body, he's remind you that that not mean he's give up this body, okay? This body in Buddhism is called very precious, very rare, very difficult to find against. Does that make sense?
This body is impure, but the human body you have here right now is a very precious one. Compared to other kinds of bodies, you have many opportunities with this one. So the Buddhist tradition is not saying, oh, your body is stupid, get rid of it and ignore it. Just shift your attitude and realize what it can bring you if you use it well.
He talks that the body is a perfect human life, perfect human body with the 18 qualities. We're not going to go 18 qualities. I'll just, let's say you know what we have. We are physically healthy, that's what you need, you know. You're physically not healthy, what you want, you cannot do. Then mentally stable. I can tell physically all of you very healthy. I do not know are you mentally stable or not.
We don't either.
No, individually knows, you know. Mentally stable, that's too needed, no? Physically healthy, you want physically what you want to do, studying, reading, doing all you can do. Mentally stable, you know how to focus on you are now watching your enemies, the other side. Don't let torture yourself, then watching to improve yourself. Mentally stable. Those two are important. Then the five aggregates we are going to talk about. Five aggregates are perfect. Now you are now full physical form, the feeling, you know, we have sense of feeling, you know, good feeling, bad feeling. That feeling is second, one second.
The second aggregate.
The mental and the mental stable. No, your mentally unstable, you do not know pleasure, happiness, you know, you mix it up. Now, then, third one,
concept of
the recognition.
The third aggregate is recognition, the first material form, the second feeling or sensation, pleasurable, unpleasurable, and neutral. The third is recognition, the mind's ability to know something.
This is right, wrong, right? Then third one is the fourth one is compositional factors.
Compositional factors.
Factors. That's all other senses, other consciousness, other things, include inside the apple compositional factor all get together. Yeah. Yeah, we have the six the mind, six main mind, then 21 secondary mind, all of it comes in the compositional factor. Then last one is the consciousness, the mind. Those are the five aggregates. Okay? The five aggregates. So what you do now, you have physically healthy, mentally stable. That means just today is very sunny day, I can go to beach, swimming.
Not here.
climbing on the tip of the mountain. That means talking now. Really, you have a precious life. When you wake up, not just thinking your coffee or your walk outside, think precious, how wonderful life I have. I'm not die last night.
This is a recommendation for what to think as soon as you wake up. Think, I'm so glad I'm alive.
Physically I'm healthy, mentally I'm stable. Now what should I do? I'm physically healthy, mentally stable. Today I want to do very special work for the benefit of all sentient beings. Then, I say, I want to do very special work for the benefit of all sentient beings. Then the question is, do you really have the opportunities to work for the benefit of all sentient beings?
And the ability, yeah.
Ability? Then you know. Of course, I don't make, but someone has. Who has? The Buddha. The Buddha has the quality to work for the benefit of others. Of course, then I want to become now Buddha in order to work for the benefit of all sentient beings. That's what you're making. In order to become for the benefit of all sentient beings, then I have to develop the pure mind, which call we bodhicitta in Sanskrit, in Tibetan, because Chanchuk is the same mind of enlightenment. That mind of enlightenment is important. So therefore, then today, especially, I want to work to achieve enlightenment until enlightenment.
I want to work until I reach enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings.
I usually give you the nugget there from you.
He usually says, until I not reach enlightenment, which is a Tibetan double negative thing. So I've been teasing him on this, and now he can't even say it right. I'm sorry. Until I reach enlightenment, I will work for the benefit of all sentient beings.
That's
your
morning determinism. Until I reach enlightenment, I'm only going to focus to improve my bodhicitta, especially the rest of my life. Particularly today in the
21st century?
No.
24 hours today.
24 hours. I'm not going to let my mind go under the control of ego. I will completely focus on to improve or develop my bodhicitta.
Bodhicitta means the Bodhi mind, the name of our center, the attitude that wishes to achieve awakening so you can more skillfully benefit all sentient beings.
Therefore, now I need to work, I need to breakfast.
So with that intention, you eat breakfast. To strengthen your body so you can do the work.
You cannot do it this time, right? You need it.
If you eat with him, you can't eat without first saying a prayer that expresses this. We are eating so we are nourishing our body so we can do the work.
So the mission, depends on how many sentient beings that involve me today have the coffee. Thanks. I'm receiving the copy, not just for me. I need in order to work for the benefit of all sentient beings. Yeah. Coffee. Yummy.
Thanks for that.
And oatmeal and strawberries.
All this told me, what would you like? Get up there. You're not really, no, your mind training, no, in nice way. You're not, me, I need coffee, I need breakfast, I need, yeah, but it's not just using. I need the coffee in order to help others. I need food in order to no, survive myself, then I can work with benevolent sentient. How wonderful you're doing. But don't expect enlightenment in one day, one instant, okay? Keep your system. Practice start here. Keep distant up to enlightenment, okay?
Keep that vision in mind,
One goal up to enlightenment. Then start the practice right here. Sit there, changing mind, okay? So that way, then you realize now how you are living, how focusing here, okay, how important yourself, not, don't despise yourself. Other people are going to despise you, don't have to worry.
It's inevitable.
Right. Don't blame yourself. Why? Some people blame, oh, my life is misery, my life is useless. If really your life is useless, you learn, make the life is useful, meaningful. That happens, no? If you're blind, something how, you cannot do the technique how to prove. If you're mentally disturbed, you don't know, no. But you're, yes, I told, physically healthy, mentally stable, why cannot?
Why can you not do good work?
Yeah. Even Buddhism say, even the mosquitoes, the little bugs have the opportunity to reach enlightenment. Mm. And of course, we are human beings, not the just ordinary human beings. We are perfect human beings, special human beings. We have the 18 qualities, teaching, teacher, not five senses, or so on. So therefore, then let's learn now how to live in the world with peace and love. That's important. Don't blame others. Blaming others is not going to solve the problems. It's going to get bigger. You really want to blame, you need something to blame, you blame your ego. Your ego is your enemy. Other who you are blaming, the other beings are your mother beings, who is really your supporter, supporting, no? Who knows how many people are doing, what the house, the food, the shelter, everything depends upon, think of how kind others to support us. What we are really offering them. For instance, myself, I didn't own anything. The body not belongs to me. Mm-hmm. The mind I can see, I don't know, the mind I cannot see. The body of course not belongs to others. The flesh, the blood, the
bones.
Not bone, the
muscle? Muscle tissue.
The skin.
Skin.
Those are you receive from others. From your mother. The bone and the marrow and the what liquid because of
sperm?
Sperm from father.
In the Tibetan tradition they say all the white elements of the body come from the father's sperm and all the red elements come from the mother's egg. So they divide the body that way, and that way you analyze that none of this is mine, it came from them.
That makes sense. What do you left? This thing that me, the mind, is not going like mine. I'm important. Where they are, I am the I. Look carefully. That's the mistaken. How do you, that means, do I don't exist? Of course you exist, you're talking, you have friends, you have enemy, you have a stranger. Right? You have fun, you have suffering. But how do you exist in according to in Buddhism? Merely exist depending, just short way, mind and body.
What we call I, which seems so strong and real, exists always dependently. It's dependent upon the mind and body, and it's actually a label that we use.
That makes sense? Okay. Yes, I'm going to the poor novelty, I make sure you learn, live in the rest of the life, be peace, love, enjoying yourself. That's good? Blaming others is not going to fulfill your purposes. Despising yourself is not going to help. Learn, just relax, enjoy, as I told, try to improve the pure mind. The pure mind, you call bodhicitta. Our mind, the mind itself, is pure, luminous, and clear.
That's the Buddhist psychological analysis. They say at the fundamental level, our mind is not tainted. It's pure, luminous, clear. It's clouded like the sky is by various confusions, but inside it's naturally pure.
Okay. Mind, the nature of the mind, not affected, anger, jealousy, pride, emotions, nothing. Completely pure, like the crystal.
Like a crystal vase. Yeah.
Or pure gold. But see the crystal or the pure gold, maybe the pure gold or the crystal under the mud or wrapped in kind of
dirty cloth. If they're wrapped in dirty rags, yeah, or if it's stuck in the mud, it seems
see,
dirty.
No? They simulate the man, pure man, wrapped in emotions. Two-way, because the abstraction to liberation and abstraction to omniscience. Many don't have the abstraction to liberation, or the liberation, we have the opportunity to free ourselves from the bondage of suffering of psychic existence. That's called abstraction to liberation, which is abstracted, cause you to get liberation, freedom. Does that make sense?
There's two kinds of obstructions that block our mind. The obstructions to liberation, which block our mind from actually finding freedom within itself. But that freedom is not full enlightenment. The second kind of obstruction are obstructions to what they call omniscience, or fully knowing things as they are, that frees your mind at the ultimate level.
Maybe this one may be better if than we, you understand. Obstruction to liberation like this. You can hear very clearly. Or you burn incense, you can see the incense. Right? Yes, obstruction, liberation, very gross, which is cause you to reach freedom. Okay? Then obstruction to omniscience is more subtle, like the incense burn, later you can see the smoke. Then slowly, slowly, you cannot see the smoke, you can smell the smoke. Then slowly, few days later, you cannot smell, no? This is the subtle one, which is the gross one prevent you to reach liberation, freedom. Subtle one cause you to don't reach enlightenment. Those two are the, according to in Buddhism, the enemy. Those are our have to pay more attention, okay? So there's man. Now, the man is yes, that pure, luminous, clean. The obstruction, the emotions, good news for us, those are not permanent. Those are changeable. If the emotion is changeable, why we have to worry about it? We should learn how to move it. Thinking, for instance, sitting here, the sun coming out, burning yourself. Then you say, it's happening, I'm burning, burning, it's not, no, you find and move goes away. But that's when you learn, instead of bothering yourself, just learn how to live in the world with peace, love. Okay? So this emotion, like anger, jealousy, pride, ignorance, doubt, depression, anxiety, all man completely rapid like this. That's why we have to move slowly. First, you learn, you have, as I told earlier, the qualities. Physically healthy, mentally stable. That's good. Oh, the emotions are not permanent. The permanent, I cannot change it. Emotions are changeable. How lucky I am, I can do it. Oh yeah, the emotions are changeable. I do not know how to use the technique, method, how to remove this, you know, emotion. Then you say, yeah, even I don't know, there are someone who, somebody, someone who knew how to apply the
antidote.
Antidote. So yeah, they had that. They are teachers, the Buddhas, the teacher who has how to apply. For instance, anger. Anger is just learn the technique, overcome from anger, just learn how to love it. Think of anger and love. Coming to sound it, love. It makes your mind more calm. You think in the anger, you feel kind of the, you know, when I'm doing my
knee exercise.
Knee exercise, I feel my knees pull up, kind of air just popping like this.
It's kind of swelling and popping and tight.
Now, so that's not just, you know, this anger feel like this. So that's when you learn, pay attention, thinking of it. Anger is useful, helpful, helpful for myself or my family, my friends, or others. Then you know the anger is not useful, not helpful. You know anger not good. Then why you letting anger to control yourself? Whose fault? The anger fault or our fault? Anger is really warning you. If you don't want to suffer, just rid of me out.
Get rid of me.
Get rid of
me. That's anger's message.
Anger message, and you know, think in a positive way. If there's no anger, how do you know you are really peaceful? Yeah, just everything is depending on it. So therefore, I thought maybe here, learn the rest of the life, live hard, live individual. First, learn yourself, love yourself. If you don't love yourself, no way to have love others. Right? In Uttodham, I don't remember. In American way, you have self-compassion, right? Self-compassion.
Sure, self-love, self-compassion.
Self-love, right? Self-compassion means just not your own Hashem. Focusing on your peace and thinking your own suffering that how to remove doesn't you self love that the compassion love is we call that like a mirror two pairs.
Like a mirror with two sides.
Two sides.
Yeah.
Supposing there's we call compassion. Turning here is the love. That means love what the love mainly focusing on this those beings who are having pleasure, joy, happiness they are more you're supporting. How wonderful if those they are never be separate not from the peace, joy, pleasure.
That's how Buddhism defines love. It's the strong wish that beings have happiness and its causes, that they never be separated from happiness and its causes. That positive wish is called love. Compassion is the flip side, the wish that beings be free from suffering.
Cause of suffering.
And the causes of suffering.
That's it. So then, that way, then you're suffering also. Suffering in Buddhist way, suffering as a good. One of the our in a Indian master Shantideva said, I'm not happy to enjoy myself. I'm happy to suffer. I love to suffer. Why? He said, if I enjoying, it not takes away all of my virtues. Then I have to suffer later.
Can I explain that?
Yeah.
in Buddhist tradition, when you experience some kind of happiness or some pleasure, physically or mentally, it's said to be the result of past actions, mental, verbal, physical actions that were beneficial, positive, virtuous actions, and you're now reaping the fruit of those actions. So your past virtues are now ripening. So every time you feel something good, that's a past action ripening into your current pleasure. So every time you experience pleasure, you're exhausting the good energy that you planted in the past. So it's a kind of, it's a way to make you not be so attached to your pleasure. Because, oh, my good virtuous energy is disappearing right now.
Think another bank card.
Like a banker?
Yeah, bank card. Card.
Like your bank, like an ATM card.
ATM card.
You're taking money out every time.
Every time. Yeah, the pens you have, but then eventually you have loan. No? So you're just the card there, then every time you try to add it, bigger. No? So that's the mean learn how to live in the world, peace, love, without men, practicing in Buddhism, not just go to in the cab, close the cab, and don't meet others, sitting there, not enough.
The Buddhist practice is not just about isolating yourself in meditation.
Okay. So the what is it? No. What's it? It's a...
Who is it?
Forget now this. Thinking, then forget.
What, Miller Rapa?
Don't do at all any sinful actions, okay? Then try to cultivate more virtuous deeds. Then train your own mind with the peace, love. It is the Buddha's main teachings.
The Buddha himself said that the teachings of all Buddhas, all enlightened beings, are wrapped up in three categories. One, avoid all negative actions. Two, increase all positive actions. And three, purify your mind, train your mind.
Okay. So, you know what next to it?
So how about what you were just about to talk about now, and we talked about last night, Tsongkhapa, the benefits of suffering and the downfalls of happiness. Usually we all want happiness and we don't want suffering, right? Well, the great teacher Tsongkhapa, who's at the center of this picture and whose book is here, because Rinpoche thought we might need it in English, many of his books, teaches in his chapter 12 in his great treatise on the path to enlightenment, the chapter on patience, what he calls the actual disadvantages of happiness and the advantages of suffering. He turns it on its head. So can you, you want to talk about some of the advantages of suffering?
Sure. Yeah. As I told you, there are no suffering, no peace. Okay? Then Shantideva, the Indian in 10th century.
No, Shantideva was a 7th century master who wrote many philosophical texts.
No. He said, when I try to explain it, then I forget the other side.
Which chapter?
Chapter, I don't remember.
Six?
No. He used the chapter, passion chapter.
Chapter six.
Now the sufferings are like a vacuum cleaner.
He doesn't say vacuum cleaner. The 7th century. He was really impressive guy.
No, he used the broom.
Oh, okay.
He used the broom. I'm just using a vacuum cleaner.
It's a modern analogy. Yeah.
I'm in first century. It's a 21st century monk.
Okay.
Broom is slower. You know, the broom is slower, takes more energy. Vacuum cleaner is just easy.
Yeah, we like the quick method.
So the Hawaiian vacuum cleaner or the broom. Broom sweeps away all these dust or the, toxic.
Makes
your room, your room clean. Vacuum cleaner just all of your hair, especially those who have animal, the
dog hair,
cat hair, then other your socks, whatever. All it makes the room clean. I mean, the suffering takes all of the rest of the your bad karma. That makes sense? This karma, your suffering, exhausted the rest of the karma. So then later you don't have to suffer. Doesn't make sense? Yeah. Therefore, you say, this like with the
broom. To sweep away.
Sweep away all the, your, no, because the, your bad, negative karma.
So it's the opposite of the happiness, right? Your happiness is the result of past good actions ripening now as joy. But every time you experience suffering, you realize, okay, this is related to something negative that I've done in the past. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, last year, childhood, past life, who knows? But now it's ripening. Good. That energy is gone. I will not have to experience it again. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely reverse way of thinking about negative, painful experience.
I don't remember exactly his word. When he said if you suffer, it gives you great pleasure, support to increase or develop your compassion toward others.
This is the second benefit of suffering.
You're helping to thinking how on yourself. When you suffer, the suffering not very pleasant, causing similar all sentient beings or under the control of physical or mentally. So that gives you strength, opportunity to develop your compassion.
If we think about it, yeah.
Okay. This. Then secondly is there no suffering, no pleasure. Not pleasure, suffering, it just depend upon it. It doesn't have, what it means, pleasure and suffering doesn't exist from its own side. Pleasure, suffering, or just not depend upon individually. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It depends on something else.
Everyone we have different approaches to what is happy and what is not. But also, not only does it depend on our own attitude and dispositions, but it depends on the situation. It doesn't usually come from ourselves. It comes from a good physical moment, a good mental moment, a good social moment, a good moment of weather, a good night's sleep. There's always some causes and conditions that are the circumstances that create suffering or pleasure. Pleasure and suffering don't exist in and of themselves as inherent blocks of experience. They're composite and dependent phenomena.
That makes sense? Mm-hmm. So learn, observe. When you're suffering, you learn how to enjoy. Can you enjoy? No.
Rinpoche, can I make one comment on the second one?
Yeah.
Is that okay, or do you want to say something?
Yeah, you can.
Just his one about compassion, I think, is really important. That suffering can help us generate compassion. That's only if we allow us to stop and think. To me, underneath that teaching is that so often when we experience pain, we just think about our own pain. And we don't imagine other people's pain, right? But when you have our own pain, if that causes us to think, oh, everybody is experiencing pain, we often forget about other people's pain. And then when we think about our own, we get obsessed. But to use that opportunity to think, oh, how many people are suffering now like me? How many people have so much more suffering than I have now? Yeah? And to use that moment to help open your heart to others, that's what Tsongkhapa says is really powerful about experiencing suffering. It can open your heart to compassion towards others.
Okay. Now maybe we go back to the first noble truth. First one, the true suffering. The suffering is called the real true suffering, the cyclic existence, not the universe. And the cyclic existence in the aggregate, the physical aggregate itself, the cyclic existence. Why is it called cyclic existence? Each time, according to Buddhism, it not stop, you continue to born again, again, again. In like, as I told earlier, in the like vehicle, not the ourselves like become the driver.
Driver of the car. Yeah.
The body is the car, rented car. Mm-hmm. Okay? The car you have, you pay you learn how to use carefully, don't get ticket.
Don't get a ticket.
Police accident, then cause more problems. Mean learn how to use that now. Mean parting, stealing, causing problems, it puts you in jail. Then your vehicle is like in garage. No? So this is not good. So they, you really learn yourself to double. The body, as I told, physically healthy, mentally stable, learn how to use just first a simple way, like to love yourself. Then you learn to love yourself, then the same love you share with your partner or your child or your friend, then slowly that's love, you learn how to love your friend, then you learn how to love your stranger, then slowly your little enemy you love, then worse enemy love, then eventually your all sentient beings, then you don't have any enemy. That makes enemies important, that's why I will let you know. Enemies, friends, strangers are not coming outside, created our own mind.
The people we consider to be friends, strangers, enemies, aren't themselves friends, strangers, and enemies. When they're born, their mother doesn't say, you are a friend, you are a stranger, you are an enemy. It comes from our experience. It comes from how we end up labeling them due to circumstances.
How we creating, we know. We see ourselves as just lonely, don't have friends, wishing our friends. Go to outside, somebody smile and say, hello. You're not your friend, you're just stranger. Somebody looks at us, hi. Then somebody comes, hi, what is your name? Okay, then, oh, hey, nice to meet you. Then come back, oh yeah, this is nice. Then say hello, that's me making a friend.
And they come back again and again, come you become again. A friend.
Then they say, oh, it's nice, can you go, a cup of tea?
You want a cup of tea with me?
Yeah. Then, oh, it's nice enough. Yeah, here my
business card.
Business card. Yeah, email.
Oh, email.
Save it.
He's a high tech guy, believe me.
If you are not interested in the question, call me at my children number. Then hi. Oh, you remember we met there? Oh yeah, it's nice. Yeah, we nice. Then slowly become friend. Then slowly become good friend. Then slowly. Best friend. Now you have the friend. That friend, now someone calls the, your friend, what is it? You have to suffer.
If someone causes your friend problems, then you suffer because of that.
Right? So the friend is the enemy. Now this person who's causing your friend, you level as my enemy.
The one who's causing your friend trouble, you now call an enemy.
That makes sense. How you creating yourself the enemy? First you make the friend. They are what causing you this? Get angry at the enemy because your attachment. They're not just only your friend. You added the qualities you call the attachment. That attachment causing your problem. Without the attachment, love, that's the pure love or unconditional love. All loves are that mixed with attachment. That attachment causing you create the enemy. That makes sense. So the tall friend, you make, that not mean I'm not, don't make friend, okay? You have more friend. All sentient things you love to how to make friend without attachment. Give up tall friend attachment. Don't have to worry you're going to lose your friend without attachment. Without attachment becomes the friendship much deeper and stronger. Okay? Then, now, except as I told you, happening, then this person bad, he or she caused my friend, something hit is broken, their arm down, now I have to take in the hospital. Mm. Then you use, now they create the work, the enemy. Right? Enemy. Enemy not come, this person is not born in beginning with the name of enemy. The mother doesn't say, I have a child who's born is enemy. Or David.
I was maybe born that way, some people say. Yeah.
So that, no? So they, you, there, what you, I'm not talking you don't have enemy. Of course we have enemy. Okay? What you have to give up toward enemy?
Attachment.
The anger.
The hatred, yeah.
Anger. Anger, attachment. Okay? Now, there you have the third one now. So those are your friend, you have toward attachment. Those are your enemy, you create this, edit the qualities as the anger. Now those are not causing your problem, not your friend, they're your stranger. They are having fun, you don't care. They are suffering, you don't care. That's stranger. They are involved your ignorance because not recognize those beings are your mother being according to in Buddhism.
They're your mother beings, which means according to the vision of rebirth, all beings have been reborn many times, and so everyone in this room was at one point your mother in the past. So every being you see on the road who looks strange, friend, enemy, or neutral, used to be your mother.
Okay.
And so we need to treat them that way, kindly, imagining you had a kind mother. and that this is a tight chance to repay the kindness that she gave you in the past. And since all beings are your mother from the past, you have no end of repaying their kindness.
Okay. Now the real suffering is then what the aggregate. This is contaminated aggregate, like the needs and all. So then other sufferings like the mental distress or the anger, jealousy, pride, those are the not permanent, changeable. Now those are our inner enemy. Others which you label inner enemy, outer
external enemy.
External enemy. The difference is external enemy, inner enemy. If you apply antidote, overcome inner enemy, never ever come back.
If the difference between an internal and external enemy is the inner enemies of negative emotions and ignorance. If you apply the antidotes, you can overcome them and uproot them completely, and they never come back.
Okay.
That's the case of the inner enemies. We can completely clear them away.
Once you go, if you introduce, apply, never ever come back. The external enemy, when you lose, they go back, build bigger, they'll come back.
they will always come back if they want to.
So that's the difference, okay? So then, now, there's no, why you have the sort of all beings are not beings, your mother beings. Now we're talking this because true suffering is this, you know, the suffering is this body in contaminated, impure body itself is the samsara. Why you call this, you know, samsara? Because this, when you die, again you have take this body. Again, this body is circum. This is the universe to circum. But what circum is the contaminated body?
The Buddhist word for life and the cycle of life of beings like us is samsara, and it literally means wandering in a circle. And there's a small scale, wandering in circles in this lifetime, the same habits being repeated and causing ourselves trouble again and again. On the large scale, we get reborn, and the same mind wants another body after death, and here we get it again, another body, with more broken legs and broken marriages and sickness and death. But then when we die, we haven't purified the mind yet, so we get another body. And we've had how many bodies? They say, you know, if you piled them up, they'd be taller than Mount Everest. And we just keep coming back for more because we're craving more experience. Because we don't know how to find true satisfaction.
So then you really want to free, then you focus on the attachment, anger, ignorance. What is the main cause to have this one? Attachment.
That's why we have this body, is because of attachment.
Anger is destroyed. Anger means the strongest anger is called the ego, the strong sense of me.
That's anger?
Yeah, anger.
Why? Why is ignorance? He's talking about what they call often the three roots of negative emotions: anger, ignorance, and greed or attachment. these three. Yeah.
Those are the main cause that talking the second, the trouble, number two, the cause of original mean.
Yeah, so the first noble truth is all that everything is associated with suffering. The second is the causes or the origins of the suffering. And the causes or origin of suffering are anger or hatred, same thing. Ignorance or delusion, same thing. And greed or attachment. Yeah.
Then he used how to overcome the or the true suffering and use the poor aspect of the suffering. First is impermanent. Second is suffering. Third is emptiness. Fourth is
non-self?
No, selflessness.
Non-self, yeah.
Selflessness. That's not impermanent. What we, the wrong view have the permanent, this body always permanent, always there. But impermanent, changing content.
We think our body is reliable and solid and permanent, but it's not. We're ignorant about that.
That fact is help for us. You think, focus on the permanent, impermanent, changeable. Of course, we all know, we are thinking, I'm going to die.
Eventually. I understand that conceptually.
Conceptually, die. But we never, ever think I'm going to die today, tomorrow, now. Right? It's not making frighten you, they're thinking. What are you thinking? If you think impasse, impermanent, that helps you to build up your virtuous deed and it affects your the concept which is holding yourself permanent. Oh, I'm going to, how do you know? Okay, if dies, what going to come? What I'm going to take with me? Is my family, can I bring with me? You know not. My body, can I take with me? No. Can I take out the car?
Car keys?
No, not car keys, the bank card.
Your ATM card?
ATM card, nothing. House, nothing. What cause did you? Then we got the karma. Good and bad karma. Then good, bad karma, action. Karma means action. Good action, good causes have you get better rebirth and better life. Bad action, bad karma cause you bad rebirth, not problem, future. Therefore, this impassing, impermanent, clear way affect your laziness, help yourself to start with the practice. That means sensitive more. Oh, killing not good. Because you want to kill bad karma. That's making you think, I'm going to die. Killing this is not going to help more. So that's the way. Just learn when you die, eventually die, you practice the impermanent. This is my. No, you don't have regret at least. Oh, yes. I didn't do any negative karma. I don't remember anything wrong. I'm fine. Okay, die. Those who believe God, I'm going to do it next to God. Those who believe something, I'm going to get better rebirth. So that way, your death become more peaceful. And then, they all family around, things that wonderfully his or her death was very peaceful. That means even they had listened. So that helps to focus on impermanent, gives you, you know, strong to emphasize, to do virtuous action, helps you to stop doing negative action. Therefore, that is important, you know, focusing on impermanent. Okay? This suffering is a true suffering. This body is a source of suffering.
Pleasure.
All comes, the contaminated aggregates you have, always you have the suffering of pain, suffering of change, all problem coming from this. Okay? That's when you have the jitter. That makes sense.
He's saying that we often mistakenly see this body as a source of joy, which of course it is, but it also is intrinsically a source of suffering. Right? Mosquitoes can kill us, we can get disease left and right. And we need to understand this body as it truly is. It's a source of suffering, and we need to release our attachment to it as a source of pleasure.
The faults of the men, they are the anger, ignorance, attachment, jealousy, pride, doubts. Those are the cause of suffering. That one you have to learn. Overcome from anger, as I told you, learn how to love. Even overcome from your ignorance, no? You learn how to, with the depending arising, emptiness. Now, overcome our pride, thinking all exists with the constituents, 16 constituents, those are. Mm-hmm. So that's each happens. That way, makes yourself more busy, good busy, comfortable busy, enjoying. Enjoyable business instead of suffering. So then your main second, this two, you read up there. That's the anger, jealousy, pride, that's calories, cause God. Then that way you rise again, anger, jealousy, again, born, again, since beginning last time. Now the second technique, the Buddha, what the main aim, Buddhism, the cessation, achievement.
The main aim of Buddhism is cessation, which means cessation of the ignorance that causes suffering.
Cessation means rid of all the emotion, anger, jealousy, but as I said earlier, the subtle way, the abstraction to omniscience, abstraction to liberation. That's the way, because in Tibetan, called the Gokden, cessation. Come through your practice, what is the true path. The true path is to help you to get higher and higher and higher the path, and get up to enlightenment. In a equivalent to in Buddhism. No? That makes sense? Just think simple way. True suffering or cause of suffering gives you continual circling without freedom. And the two others, the cessation and true path, helps yourself improve to getting better, 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 better high. Like you're working, you're making your becoming like an artist, they started to learn, get better, better artist. Okay? Yes. That's why then main achievement, now Buddhism main goal is to everyone have this potential to reach enlightenment. Then you have your sentient beings are limitless. Your life, you can end it. End it means not disappear, no? But you are not under the control of affinity, emotion, action. You are under the control of compassion, love, and prayer wish. Come to work.
Wish, your vow or intention to work for all beings. You're under control of the force of that intention. Prayer wish.
Yeah, for noble truth. Mm. Then, always, don't blame. As I told the suffering. I was just thinking, while I'm in the hospital, I just, Shantideva, he said, in Tibetan, Tate Dunga Ditsam, the Kiki Superman, he means even that this is a very small suffering. Even you are not able to bear, not able to accept this suffering, then if you're born in the hell, then how can we, bear the suffering, bigger suffering? Therefore, he said, instead, just now, really you don't want to suffer, you should recognize the cause of suffering and rid of that bigger one. That makes sense?
So Shantideva talks about how when we encounter certain small sufferings, we get really upset sometimes. And he stops and thinks. He says, if this little pain here, a broken bone or something, causes me such anguish, how will I deal with it when I get reborn in a hell realm or some other more painful realm? Even an animal realm or ghost realm, when even this small human pain I can not bear. So then you have to stop and think, what is the source of my suffering right now? It's really the mental response, not the pain. And so I need to kind of learn to uproot this here, now.
There's, we are the Kadampa Lamas.
There are certain lamas of a certain tradition in Tibet.
They make offering to the, for the Dharma protectors.
They have certain sort of spirits that protect their tradition and keep it alive and healthy, so they make offerings to these spirits.
They're not spirits, they're Dharma protectors.
Well, who are they? They're invisible, right?
Like them. No, they're like the Bajra, with the Yamada Kalarupa, this and spirit, high level being.
The high level spirits. Are they? Not ordinary spirits, like, is what they mean.
Not the ordinary spirits.
Not ghosts.
No. Good ghosts.
Both good, not ghosts. Those are not ghosts. They're Buddhi.
We have generic Buddhist terms here. They have specific levels for all the beings that we don't. Many of us don't think exist.
Those Dharma protector thing like a very high level trained army worker. They
like a general in the army or something.
No, the top armies worker.
General.
General is the head of the.
The whole army.
The whole army, special training they have. The
elite
have
forces.
Huh? The elite forces, the Marines.
Oh, the like Marine. That's the job. Dharma protects are actually Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva. Or Buddhas.
Invisible.
Take a form like that, that full aspect, like a stranger kind of. Because the beings who are not easy to. Place now in peaceful way. They have to show that they're like the special soldier enemy can deal easily.
Yes.
Then the longer we don't need special just soldier is okay. Then later we don't need this evil soldier, the policeman is okay. Then they are in the school, you have the what could the
security?
Not security,
principal.
The,
right? Principal?
No, insist teacher then. Insist.
It's like the police
not the,
training.
Not police, not something, not security, something. Yeah. Something is different. So the Bodhisattva, Buddhas take different aspect, different way. Okay? So then we do the prayer, we do something, the Dharma portrait to help us. This Kadampa Lama said, please have my offering and torture me. If it's necessary, torture me, or cause me.
Yeah.
Then also the spirit beings, we call the storm, offer them, thank you for you are really torturing me, it helped me to destroy my ego. Next time, please bring me bigger trouble. That's me.
Yeah, so to the Dharma protectors who are always helping, ask, please don't just help but torture me. To the spirits who always torture, give you problems, please give me more, bigger
more,
problems.
Because that makes it, my ego become
smaller.
Then help me to speed up my practice. Then because have some of this offering, please, that some give bigger, stronger, more power, more programs. It's not just talking from feel from, of course they are not going to don't have, but the Bodhisattva way of thinking how they feel from their heart, how big their heart. It's not going to be bigger, but their mind stronger they have, that more they don't have problem. But they're wishing if they can help, they really give me more trouble, then get more opportunity to speed up my practice. That's why you don't have that kind of able to the encouragement. Just think, please, Buddha, help me overcome from the problems. Please, Buddha, help my country, my society, please overcome from this, you know, the problem. Please, Dharma protectors, help those who are going under the that influence, have this offering, help them to change their mind. Right? Then the spirit beings, the offering, please not, don't force, cause them problem. Take this offering, please leave us alone. Right?
This is sort of the ordinary attitude towards praying to these different levels of spirit beings, you know. The Bodhisattva, who is a high-level practitioner, says, give me torture. I need it to practice more deeply. But an ordinary person will say, Dharma protectors, please help us. Spirits, please stop bothering people. Please help everyone in the world live with peace. That's more of a standard ordinary being's approach, right? But the great courageous practitioners actually ask that they experience more pain so that they can practice more hard and they can overcome the obstacles so they can help others more freely.
Gela gajin opaling it. The suffering is not within the suffering help to your to improve or do more virtuous activities. Then the suffering help another those seven beings who are suffering help you to increase your compassion. So they it just thinking in a positive, not negative. We just bother. Why happened this me, not happened the other? Why?
That's our usual response, yeah.
We want to respond. That's not going to go, no?
It's not going to help at all to think, why me? Yeah. It doesn't help anything.
So that's, I think maybe, shall we have question, answer?
Yeah, I think that's a good ending. It's 3:15 almost, so I think that's a good time to end.
So I don't have much to say. I think yesterday I'm good. Had prepared, said somehow I got very often sleepy, took a nap.
The doctors are telling him to rest, and he's resting well. And every time we talked about, oh, let's prepare for tomorrow's lecture, and he said, okay, let me just take a nap first. So we'll open now to questions for about 15 minutes. So just let Rinpoche take a sip of water here, please.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hi, Rinpoche. Did you not take medication to feel the pain for other people, to relieve their suffering?
Is the reason you didn't take meditation so that you would feel suffering for the sake of other beings?
Medication.
Medication.
I took past 2 days. Okay? 2 days, medicine?
The strong opiate which made his body feel dizzy and mind feel crazy. He was hallucinating.
Strong day night, I had dream. All kind of crazy dream. It's really, I'm tired to stop saying prayers in gym, okay? I'm not just, I'm tired to do, like something, gate para, tare to tare. It's really coming forth to all of me. Kind of friend or stranger, all kind of. My head just run like the wheel, you know. And second day, same, also good, bad, also something missing there. Sometimes some llama there, but next to him, somebody peed.
Next to the llama, there's someone peeing. Some really strange dreams, yeah.
Some tried to clean the other day, really. I cannot find my cushion. I cannot find all kinds of. And I thought, other people really check, they feel crazy. So I decided, don't want to take this medicine. Then I don't have the problem. The pain, it's just I'm thinking that now the pain is a good part of my life. No? It's part of, I knew in the beginning when I decided the doctor not going to come with the kind of chocolate to give to me and a cure mine. He's going to come with the knife. That's I know, no? I have chances, if I'm good luck, my surgery is successful. I don't know, good luck, maybe I'll be next time somewhere else.
You mean you may not survive?
Yeah. Who knows? You know, who don't know. Then I'm thinking, you know, the day before them, sometimes I watch it. The dream is okay. I'm not going to die.
He watches his dreams the night before the surgery, and they were positive dreams, so he wasn't worried.
I'm not worried. Then I'm thinking, now maybe I'll focus what happened, the appearances, while he's doing the operation. But there's no way for me. He asked, I can play any music. You know, we usually play music. My daughter said, you bring your own music. Then I said, okay, I don't have music, but I have the Dalai Lama tapes. He's reciting the Heart Sutra.
He has a CD of the Dalai Lama chanting the Heart Sutra, so he brought that I would have brought Radiohead, you know, but he brought Yeah.
Then, now I'm, he's put there, I'm thinking that I can love him there. The signs coming or not. I heard the Lala Ma, Baba Windows, no, 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 no. That's it?
He heard like the first line and that was it. He was hoping he could watch like what is appearing in my brain during the surgery. Nothing. Gone.
So then I woke up. I don't have breakfast.
Don't have what?
Breakfast, heavy breakfast.
Before
I go to bed. This is light breakfast. And my body needs a little heavier. Then I don't have the breakfast a lot. Then come back, they give some food I eat that makes me nausea. I have to throw up.
He threw up for the first day.
They get scared. I knew I have to throw this. And then I drink more water. More. Eventually, everything comes out. Then I'm fine. So it's not yet kind of. I don't feel what you call the pain. I don't know. I don't feel well. I'm pain. I just a kind of pressure.
Oh, he felt lots of pressure in his knees, swelling and kind of bubbling, tingling, feeling, and but not much pain.
Not much pain. Yeah. Then at times, sometimes too, I just stronger pain comes. Then I just think, may all sentient beings who are suffering knees problem may happen upon my knees.
This is a very typical Buddhist approach, yeah? When you feel the pain, may all the pains of other sentient beings, may their pains ripen upon me now and may I experience it instead of them.
And pity them. Sometimes working, sometimes not working.
But he's been living with me and my partner for the past week and a half, and I've seen him most days before that since the surgery. He has a little bit of pain, but he just deals with it gracefully. Mostly not pain, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
McKinley?
Yeah.
McKinley?
So, last time in the conversation, someone asked you about fear at the end, and you said it came from ignorance. And I was wondering, with pain, there's real physical pain, and then there's mental pain that we add to it, and maybe how you can talk a little bit more about that ignorance and fear and how they go together.
We do it.
Well, the relationship between ignorance and fear, but also the double relationship there. You know, we have physical pain, but then there's the mental response to the pain.
Yeah.
Right?
Where
is the ignorance and fear in that distinction?
The pain, okay, physical pain is different. Those who are practitioner and not practitioner.
They experience pain very differently. Yeah.
The practitioner who accept this, no? The mentally doesn't suffer. Physical, of course, suffering. Those who don't have any
spiritual practice.
Spiritual practice, they're not only suffering physically, also suffering mentally. Same with the operation, same medicine you took, that big difference. Those who are practitioners, smiling, thinking, oh, observing, no? Those are not, why happened to me? Oh, don't give the injection. That's the difference. Then the ignorant, those are just one of those who are really have kind of practiced. This is the cause of not ignorant, cause of the karma. In my own karma, just returning back to me, why I have to blame other, why I have to suffer? No, just accept I'm lucky, I'm happy because now I have good doctor, good nurses, good taking care of everyone. Why my own karma is returning, not someone causing me to suffer. That's more powerful. The thing, particularly how, I don't have much to eat, and the people bring food. My stomach cannot put all the.
Every day people are delivering food to our house for him. He can't eat it all. So he's got no reason to complain.
Everyone calling, are you okay? All you okay, no?
So that everyone really happened. That's good, you know? So the karma, this is just, this is they're not part of your discipline. Love, you know? Love is without suffering.
Buddha said life has, it is suffering, naturally.
Not mean that contaminated life is suffering.
The life that has the impure mind that doesn't see clearly, that kind of contaminated life that has yet to free itself from ignorance is always going to have suffering.
Yeah.
The physical therapist at the office the other day asked him while he was doing exercises, so does the pain bother you? Does your knee bother you? And he said, why? He said, if I have suffering, then it's going to ruin my happiness. So I'm just happy. In fact, there's a choice there. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's a choice. Somebody else? I'm sorry, sir. Yeah.
It sounds like you don't do any focused meditation on that other than the acceptance of the pain for everyone else, and you just kind of keep to your normal meditative routine and the other routines of the day that you normally do. Is that right?
Yeah. But first, I thought I'm not able to do my prayer thing, no?
He thought he wouldn't be able to.
I thought maybe two, three days, I'm not able to do. But I come out, I can see, I ask her, bring my book. that routine goes in there. Here, little bit of burning. Then, of course, there, machine there. Even the nurse was, wonderful, I like it. Text there in the bathroom.
He had a great time in the hospital. He just pushed the button, the nurse would come, take him to the bathroom, change his clothes, feed him. It was wonderful.
Enjoy and be deep.
In the hospital, people really enjoyed him. They were like, I hope you come back. You really make us happy. But he answered directly very quickly and then went on to talk about the hospital. But I know that he's not focusing on his knee.
Yeah, that's what
every morning he's doing the same 3 hours of prayers he does all the time, the same prayers in the afternoon, the same prayers in the evening, the same meals, same conversations on the phone with India, Ladakh, East Coast. And he's always Skyping and WhatsApping and with 100 people a day. And so the rhythm of his day is exactly the same.
So what got you here will keep you going in that same direction. Mm-hmm. Everything that you're doing now, you just keep doing.
Yeah.
Regardless of what pain gets in the way, you don't
it's come very often come this my karma is turning. No?
Yeah.
My karma. The Buddha said no, there are no causes, no result. Buddha said, you never done good and bad causes, you're not going to meet the good and bad result. Karma is certain.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I had one confusion with this idea of happiness. How is that separated from bliss? You know, because it sounds like happiness is a bad thing in some senses, whereas bliss is not. So I'm supposed to go through life in a blissful way, but not necessarily a happy way. I'm kind of a little confused on the distinction.
Well, he hasn't talked about
bliss. He hasn't. Not what I just made. I
don't know that he spoke about bliss today.
No, he didn't. What I'm trying to figure out is to keep a positive attitude, a lot of times you need to be happy to keep a positive attitude. Mm. But is that attachment? And how? I need to smile to have a positive attitude to be happy. But then there seems to be a negative about being happy. Or is that more symbolic?
I think there's two not going to come together. You are happy. Negative not going to come. Negative thoughts, no?
If you're happy, you won't have negative thoughts. But he means that happiness itself, you seem to be criticizing it. Like something about happiness is problem.
Why?
No, I'm not saying that's what you're doing. It's just
saying don't be attached to it.
Out of my mind.
He is saying don't be attached to it.
Okay. So
happiness without attachment is really fine.
That's your bliss.
Okay, so it's the greedy attachment to happiness that's the issue, right? So if I'm just happy to be alive, that I've got a great wife or whatever, that's okay, as long as I'm not overly focused on that idea
and overly attached to it. Without the attachment is okay, with the attachment is not okay.
What type of attachment is not?
With attachment. you're appreciating your wife. Right. When the attachment comes in, it's not so okay. Now, this not so okay is not just like a judgment coming down from the Ten Commandments. It really comes from a subjective understanding of what is our experience in relationships when we're attached. There's actually a problem in there. It messes with the pureness of joy.
I know. That's
you
know?
What I was so that's what he's saying. So with the attachment, it's not okay. Happiness, enjoying your relationship without the attachment, is okay.
Okay, all right. That's okay. I understand that a lot better. Thank you.
Yeah? Heather?
You're speaking of impermanence. Is happiness impermanent as well? So you have good days, bad days. Is everything... Is it okay to have a bad day? Because it's happiness isn't...
Not okay have bad day, but you have to... good days. But it comes, part of our life. But then that day, you don't let yourself go under the control of the bad day. No? Bad day is changeable. Don't have to worry. No? No? That's the... Not go, oh, this is my bad day, I cannot do it. Don't say, yeah, I'm not Dallas now. I'm healthy. I'm stable. Why? I have friends, I can go to ask to help me the problem. Just
try again.
Yeah.
Try.
Yeah. Always enjoy. As I told earlier, if you don't enjoy yourself, no one going to give you enjoyment. No one. Yeah.
For
those of us in the room, Rinpoche, who have physical problems, maybe we can't practice as well as you, but what advice can you give?
Just say, kill it five more.
Some people here have physical problems. Amy has some, we all have some.
Yeah.
But we can't practice quite as well as you. We can't deal with the suffering as easily as you.
That's
can.
Different.
Give us some advice.
You just, in yourself, I wish, you know, this person overcome from the problems. I cannot do, but please, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, Gyosar, please help him or her overcome this problem.
But how about ourselves?
Then sometimes, huh?
Ourselves.
What?
How about my pain?
Your pain?
Yeah.
Your pain, you just this is my previous bad karma result is happening. I'm lucky. I'm lucky now I can change the bad karma. If necessary, I can go to see doctor. He checks. If they take the medicine. Don't let yourself go under the control of the emotion. Take the medicine. Medicine now, then ask a doctor the stronger medicine. Then doesn't work. Yeah? Oh, this is my karma. I'm lucky. Now I don't have to carry on with that karma. That makes sense? Then I also say, please, now, Buddha and Dharma protector, help me to overcome my problems. Oh, the Tara, please help me, give me long life. Tara, please clear away my physical illness. It is in Buddha. Please use your power to clear away my. No, that's it. You believe they are helping you, then you just take doctor medicine. If cured well, going to cure it. If not cure it, but then you have to accept. That makes sense.
But you know, also, Amy, I will add one thing. That is, I think it's not so helpful to compare ourselves with him. Yes, he's... But I don't mean because of that, because we're so different. We're actually very similar. I mean, you can when you experience physical pain. I work with this, but it's hard. I'm not good. And to sit and feel, so why am I feeling so bad? You know, yes, I have pain, but my mind is all depressed. Do you know what I mean? So to kind of sit quietly, what's going on here? And observe the mind and see if you can release the mind from some of its clinging to that negativity. And just breathe. Okay, it's pain. You know what I mean? Yes, it didn't get fixed. And here it is again today. Maybe it's my bad karma from the past, but just to breathe and relax the mind a little bit. You know what I mean? And to notice the patterns of clinging. You can do that.
Yeah, you can get angry, your pain.
Yeah.
If you get angry, you're very painful.
You ever get angry at the pain?
Then sure. you think, is my anger helping my pain to move or not? If physically you're painful, then the anger more adding the pain stronger. You know? So the anger is not good. Just not tired to do my is possible. For instance, my case, sometimes I take the what could the
ice pack.
Sometimes I take the machine.
Yes, the exercise
sometimes
machine.
Sometimes I took out my cool up. Sometimes I get warm it. Sometimes I walk it. Sometimes just go as much as you can. You do it, then you cannot, then accept it. That's why, Lord, don't let the bother. This is not you. You're the boss. The body is your worker. You're paying. You are not my boss. I am the boss. You have to listen to me. Take this medicine. I'm taking the medicine, giving the medicine. You jump to me. Now, relax and do exercise. Using this, talking to yourself. Making what? You have the my, mine, you know why? My, me, and mine. What mean? The arm is not me. Knee is not me. No? Arm is mine. Knee is mine. Mean not you. There's something else. So you are the boss to taking care of or force yourself to suffer or get better in your hand. Right? But at least physical suffering, you learn, don't let yourself suffer physically. Does that make sense?
If possible, yeah.
Possible. But crying doesn't help. Blaming doesn't help. It doesn't go. They suffer nothing. Oh, sorry, it's a mistake and I can go away. Not going to say, no? You cry, the physical pain becomes stronger. No? Things, you know, I'm not like a butter. Butter comes in, coal comes in.
Gets clumpy.
Clumpy, coal comes, heart comes in, melt it. I'm strong like an iron. Not good. I'm going to cut you. I'm the boss. You make to yourself, talk to yourself. You're thinking which way. That makes sense? No. Yeah?
Lena?
I'm thinking about David in meditation, like you say, you know, something's hurting or you have an itch, just sit with it, focus on it. That's different from saying, I'm the boss. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
I'm wondering what that difference is.
I can respond to that. Yeah.
For instance, I'm suffering, okay? I'm thinking, I thought to come, my hand goes here, just rapping. Just do, no? Don't forget this. Do as much as you can. No?
Alleviate it.
Don't let yourself suffer.
So that's a bit different from focusing on the itch or whatever, and observing it, and then it goes away.
Observing is okay. Huh? Observe the pain is okay.
Do you know the kind of mindfulness practice where you just watch the pain?
Yeah, but basically. Sometimes you look at where
it
is.
It separates then from.
Observe is great. You observe, then you judge where is the pain.
You can't find it.
So that means you don't have the pain. Yes, of course, it depends upon many things. Yeah, man created the stronger, deeper, and worse. Mm-hmm. Worse, life depends on man. We have the Dharma Kirti in Indian masters.
That's fifth century Indian philosopher.
No. Chandan Tiu Tsungpala Chalvez in the Japanese. One person holding perfume, giving nice massage. Okay? Nice massage. The other said the other person holding a dull knife, torturing, piece torturing. Then he or she doesn't have any toward him, don't have anger toward him, you have the attention. Just look equally. Both of them, you know, they're then really a petition. Ellen? Maybe I don't use the story of the, because the Rishi, mean the practitioner who's doing patient practice.
There's a meditation, a practitioner is doing deep meditation on patience.
Patient in long time, in produced Buddha's life story. Then there was that king went to in the jungle for picnic, then they found a spot, there they relaxed. Meanwhile, the queens went there, see the practitioner.
So the king went out in the jungle and they...
No, king sitting in
there. In the field to have a picnic, but the queens went over to see the famous meditator.
Just that they walked there, they made the set, they're sitting there. Then the king woke up, the queens are not there. Then you're looking around, don't find, eventually find the queens sitting next to him. Then he get very angry.
Jealous,
angry. Maybe she's deceiving his wife, the queen. Then he asks him, what are you doing? And say, I'm practicing patience. Do you have any attainment? No. Then how can I believe that the God is armed? Then what are you doing? I'm doing patience practice. Do you achieve any kind of facial attainment? No. The God of all lands. Then eventually here, you have great practitioner, then somehow his disciples notice there, and then we kind of standard. So then the king asked, how do I believe you real practitioner? Then he told, if I'm real, you don't have any regret? You don't have any attachment? So no. How can I believe? Then he said, if I don't have at all any attachment or regret, may my blood turn like a milk. It's happened.
And the blood is coming out of his arms and legs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Nice. Then also, may all arms come back. Come back. Then so that talking real practitioner, patient. Other way, we have another in practitioner, two friends who wants to practice. The other friend knew he is not able to go do the practice. He went to there. After a month later, visit his friend. He asked, how are you doing? I'm doing well. Then asked, how are you doing? I'm doing well. How are you doing? I'm doing okay. I told you I'm doing okay.
Oh, he gets annoyed, yeah?
No, it's the, eventually, if you're practicing patient, shit my pee, my poop.
No, you what?
Hit my poop.
Hit my poop?
No, you didn't. Not real practitioner.
Can you explain that?
No, I didn't. I couldn't. Sometimes I can't follow his stories. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I missed the last part.
Two friends.
Yeah, one is practicing. Yeah.
One is went to practice patient.
Like in the cave or something.
In the cave. Month later, the other friend went to visit him. He testing him, really practicing or not.
Oh, yeah.
Then testing, then each time he testing, his voice goes higher, higher.
He gets more irritated.
Irritated. Then eventually, he told the person, you know,
The friend said this or the one in the practitioner?
Mm?
At the end, who said the poop part? The friend or the practitioner?
The other one.
The practitioner?
No, the other friend. Who said?
The testing one.
Testing one.
And what did he say?
Eat my shit.
Eat my shit?
No, you eat
it. No, you eat it. So his meditation on patience was not very effective.
It was effective until he got pushed too far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know Lena back there? Come and greet. I'll talk to you later. Okay.
When I'm suffering, am I burning old bad karma?
That depends upon your own motivation.
If I want to use the suffering to help.
If you are suffering with your peace, love, caring, thinking all other beings, male, free from suffering of those kind of, not using that way. My suffering to help all, you know, all suffering absorb into me, then all of them ever free. So that can, if your own bad karma burning. If you say, oh, I'm doing that, then people think I'm getting practitioner, then you, then oh, she's very wonderful, she's practicing that, they can, you are expecting fame, name, then not good. From your heart, you still feel from your heart pure, then it is yes. Yeah.
That's the lucky part. When you said, I can see that I'm lucky because I get an opportunity.
Yeah, thinking that.
Maybe one more question, if someone has.
I have a question. I'm kind of hearing that emotions are, I won't quite say an enemy, but almost an enemy, certain emotions. So I'm wondering if there's ever anything seen as guidance from anger or fear or grief, or are they something to be always overcome? Or is there some benefit in those emotions when they arise?
So if the emotions like anger and pride and jealousy are sort of like enemies, but is there something in these emotions which can teach us something? Can there be some guidance in these experiences?
It depends on the practitioner. Now, practitioner, the emotion, you know, coming, there's give more strength, overcome. That they could not, don't have to rid of them. Just come, as I told earlier, become, give me more problems. Give me more, have more suffering, You don't have to say, give them. It comes. It depends on the practitioner himself or herself. How much, how can they can, like think another food, you know, how much your stomach going to take the food, that much you have to take it, no? Eat it, no? Too much is going to cause you a problem, too little is going to cause, just need your body, that's kind of food you have, that's similarly practice, how much you can do, slowly, step by step by step by, important, live with more, relax, enjoy, be peace, love, that's good enough. Then there's an every day by day give more improving even. Then without pride, another pride, good pride, I'm able to do today wonderful. Thank you. Tomorrow I will do better. No? Then before you go to bed, morning you decide. You really follow or not? You follow, they admire you. Say, Jackie, you're wonderful. You just follow exactly. Tomorrow, Jackie, I'm going to do much better. This morning, Jackie did the commitment. Then Jackie did wrong. Now, Jackie, morning, Jackie was bad. She get caught today. I'm the new Jackie. I'm not going to make mistakes like her. Make yourself different name, no? So each time, each you know, good, good, bad. In the Kadampa lamas, usually they keep in like the two pile of stone, one a black stone, one a white stone.
There's old traditional Kadampa teachers who had a practice of keeping piles of stones in their meditation place, black ones and white ones. And when they did something good, they would add a white stone.
Take the white pile, Something bad thing comes, they take the black, then eventually the wheat pile comes bigger. And the white stone comes, then you admire. Bad and blend. That not mean just...
To work harder, yeah.
Yeah, harder.
I think the interesting thing he said, in case you missed it, is that it's like the mind of jealousy is not inherently evil or bad, you know, the mind of anger when it comes up. You have an opportunity right there to work with it. And if you work with it, then it becomes a real opportunity, and it's not negative at all. But if you get caught up in it and you just get all tight, and then there's nothing good about it. But inherently, it's not really good or bad. It's how you work with it, what you do with it. Right?
Thank you for expanding on that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think for talk time, that's enough for tonight. But we will, Rinpoche can stay for another 15 minutes. And there's some tea in the other room if people like tea, and we can mingle a bit. But let me ask him first just to give a dedication prayer, and then we'll end the formal part of this afternoon session.
Yeah, I'm sure it's handy.
Oh, shall
we? We could do it after. I brought some music to play for you if you want as a gift to you.
Oh, thank you.
That can play later after your prayer.
Oh, okay, maybe after. What kind of music? It's a drum, you said.
Yes, yeah, it's
just a short piece?
Yeah, I can do it for just a second if you want.
Okay, maybe after his dedication, she can play a small piece
sure.
of music.
Yes.
Sure.
Good, good.
Okay. The dedication is like in the Kadampa, yes, I'm talking Kadampa Lama tradition. There's the beginning and the end, the two action. Beginning action means when you're doing, started, pure motivation. We did the Buddha prayer, no? And the end action is the dedication. Dedication is like the virtues, what you gain through studying, reading, meditating, listening. That's virtues. If you dedicate the virtues, you dedicate until you reach enlightenment, your virtues there. If you don't dedicate, you get walk outside, you meet your enemy, you lose your temper, then the virtues destroy. Think that is another is simple way. If you have a cup full of water, keep with you, it's going to turn is the steam or spell going to go away.
It will evaporate.
Evaporate. If you there's a cup full of water you pour in the ocean until ocean
disappears,
your cup full of water is still there. That's me. That's where dedication is important. Keep your virtues until you reach enlightenment.
There's a very simple Buddhist practice before teaching, before meditation. You always have a beginning prayer to set your intention. Okay. Then you do the main practice, and then you have a dedication prayer. It's kind of like the main course with the appetizer and dessert. I mean, you know, time-wise. Mm-hmm. So at the end, you take whatever goodness came from today's session. Whatever good things you learn, good intentions you develop, something positive happened, that virtue, that strength that comes from this, don't just walk away and go eat lunch, you know, go eat dinner, but rather first you dedicate. May this virtue and merit from today's meeting be dedicated to our own future enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. If you do that, the energy stays with you until you achieve enlightenment. Otherwise, it just dissipates like the cup of water evaporates. But if you pour the cup of water in the ocean, it stays until the ocean disappears.
Okay. And the dedication is sutra from Buddha.
Virtue and merit refers to the good energy, the good force that comes to your minds from...
I just wanted you to repeat what you said, that English phrase, may the virtue and merit...
May the virtue or merit... The traditional word is merit or punya.
Okay.
Which means the good qualities of habit that develop from this work. May they remain with me. May they be used to help me achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all living beings. I dedicate this goodness, not just to hold on to for myself, but that I may develop qualities that bring benefit to the world. May I dedicate these good energies toward my own future enlightenment for the benefit of all beings.
Thank you. I apologize.
That's okay. That's the past, present, future without... How they dedicate their virtues, I'm just exactly imitating them.
All other enlightened beings dedicated their virtues in this way. I'm simply following their example.
And especially there are two Buddhisattva called the Samantabhadra and Manjushri. Those two Buddhisattva, the dedication of the very super. So that's my dedication that is following him, them too.
Just okay. Following great examples.
Then, last, I want to say this, I'm just saying, when in the future, the Buddha Maitreya come to India, reach enlightenment under the Bodhi trees, then at that time, we have become the first disciple of him,
and his teachings, you know, open our heart like a flower blooming. Then little Buddha very happy, put his right arm on your head, then feel your, he gives the prediction such a time, you'll be that particular Buddha. Mm-hmm. Okay?
The best part is the end, where after we do these dedications, we also say, may this merit also ripen so that in the distant future, when the next Buddha comes to our planet, his name is Maitreya, and he's waiting in a heavenly realm now, and when the current Buddha's teachings disappear from our planet, after a long time, another Buddha will appear. And may I be reborn then in a place where he is, and may I be one of his disciples, one of his first disciples. And may I sit in front of him, and may he put his hand on top of my head, and may his teachings ripen my heart and open my heart like a lotus flower. And when he puts his hand on top of my head, may he give me a prediction that at such and such a time, in such a place, I too will become a Buddha with such and such a name. May the merits that we have today not only bring us to enlightenment, but bring us to enlightenment as a disciple of the future Buddha Maitreya, who will predict our own future Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings.
The flowers.
It's beautiful, isn't it? the dedication we're going to do includes those lines.
All right. Dusunun sebebi gavatım de ki o akanla çok dağına koydun da gege verse o adı koy. Zambo çocuğa dağına var ki çasal o adına çocuğa çabadan şesu yeren konuyorsa o. Yavacımda da geçi zabatım de so beyeceğim çocuğum borum o çocuğa geker bu tonga be çocuğundan bapı o arada gegedun. Sünge malu san var şo dağdan şimdi dusun da cebe sonyalı. Yavalıdan raba tamba yürü yumba gürü çige namcı ındırcı dengi rivo. Thank you. Hopefully, something you get from my don't walk outside whispering in what language he was speaking.
When you leave here, don't ask what language was he talking. Please think of something more valuable to say.
I don't understand his thick accent.
His thick accent, yeah. I teach with him here so you can understand a little bit more. Now, I hope it helps.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we talked about the how to be peaceful mind. Now you are how to bring your ear more peaceful, which is going to be peaceful.
Yes, please, Shem.
Can we play real quick?
Yeah.
Your stomach happy, have some food.
Actually, we don't have food, we just have tea. Hot tea.
He likes food.
Thank you all so much. We also have a donation box over there for Bodhi Mind Center, if you feel like it. Thank you all for coming.
Brought you some more food you can't eat. But I have a tradition that I give pineapples to friends, so...